everyone. Welcome back to the Breast Cancer Podcast. Hello, I'm your host, Dr. Deepa Halaharvi, a fellowship-trained breast surgeon, and also happen to be a breast cancer survivor, thriver, and a warrior living my best life. As you know, breast cancer affects millions worldwide, touching lives in a profound ways. Whether you're someone facing a diagnosis, or a supporter seeking information, or just eager to learn more, this podcast aims to be a beacon of understanding, hope, and empowerment. I'm here to talk about all things breast cancer, from surgery to survivorship, as well as high risk for breast cancer to metastatic breast cancer. My goal is to provide you with reliable information, share inspiring narratives, and foster a supportive community. I know firsthand the challenges breast cancer diagnosis brings. Throughout this podcast, I will give you strategies to handle difficulties that arise from cancer diagnosis. We'll have insightful conversations with medical experts, researchers, survivors, caregivers, and advocates. I will tackle topics that impact our lives as cancer survivors. My goal is to educate you and empower you to live your best life. I definitely have. Well, let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our Finding Your New Normal series. And today we are talking about body image. What do you think of body image?
It's a big one. It's a big one. Yes. Yeah. It's important for us to talk about, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to have Jody Gibbs with me. And she was here with me for the Hot Flashes episode. She did phenomenal. I have so many people reaching up to me and tell me how those tips were helpful for them. So Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And she is a fantastic physician assistant who works here at Enliven Health and Wellness. And I'm so grateful that you're here. Thank you so much for being
Thanks for having me back. I'm so happy to be here.
So Jody, let's talk about body image.
All right, here we go, right?
Yeah. So what do you think about it? Like, have you ever had issues with body image?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think anyone who says they haven't had any issues, I think that's probably not a true statement.
Yes.
You know, I think it's something we all deal with.
Something like 85% of the people have issues with body image, and that's before any surgery or anything like that. Yeah. So, and you know, our patients that we see are cancer patients who just have undergone surgery, radiation, chemotherapy. So they not only have, you know, scars from the surgeries, maybe keloids, maybe they don't like the way they look. They're losing their hair. Their skin is different. Their nails are different. They just don't look like themselves, how they looked prior to their cancer diagnosis. So that can impact their body image quite a bit. Have you seen that quite a bit?
Yeah, and can compact it throughout. You know, from here on out, you know, like a lot of times, although hair can come back, it looks different. It could be a different color, a different texture. As far as, you know, people have steroids through treatment. And so that can contribute to weight gain. Sometimes there can be weight loss.
Yeah.
You're right. As far as your nails are affected. So, you know, the obvious thing is, you know, the changes in the breast tissue and kind of the cosmetic result from that. But then there are also all those other changes that people kind of go through that also really impact their body image.
Yeah. I was looking up a definition for the body image on what constitutes body image. Body image is how you see or picture yourself, how you feel others perceive you. It's what you believe about your physical appearance and how you feel about your body and how you feel in your body. And I think it's different to each person, right? Do you feel that some people have more issues with body image than others?
Yeah, I think it's a spectrum for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I do think that it's important to know that body image is learned. I think that, you know, you see little kids playing and some of them can have food on their face or a burger in their nose, or they, their clothes don't match, or, and they're really just enjoying that moment. They're in the moment and they have no, you know, thought as far as what they look like in enjoying that moment.
Yeah.
And then there's a time where there's a switch that kind of happens and all of a sudden we are become more self-aware and we're aware of other people and ourselves. And sometimes that happens by just hearing other conversations about other people.
Yeah.
Sometimes we overhear our conversation about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's just a lot of different ways that we start to form what our body image is. And that happens at a very young age. And it's kind of interesting to take the time to think about what were your first messages
yeah.
that you got
yeah.
As far as your body image.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to recognize what you're going through currently, but I think it's very helpful to recognize when did we start getting those messages
yeah.
and what were those messages. Yeah.
You know, this reminds me, I am usually more careful on how I talk about myself when I'm with my daughter
mm-hmm.
than when
mm-hmm.
she's not around, because I don't want her to take the same negative language sometimes mm-hmm. I have on myself or for myself or regarding myself. I don't want to, you know, her to have that growing up, like this is what my mom said about herself.
Right.
So I'm very careful. And I think we do hear messages growing up where we call ourselves fat and ugly or whatever
sure.
the terms that we use. I think that has a significant impact on mm-hmm. our brains
mm-hmm.
and our
yeah,
minds.
And the other thing that's really big now too is social media.
Yeah.
And how many messages? I mean, we would get messages through magazines that we would
yes.
happen to see or TV
yeah.
shows that we all saw the same thing. And
yeah.
you know, there wasn't as much access to body image kind of messages. And now
yeah.
I think our the young females are just getting those messages. I mean, seconds, you know,
yeah.
you know, every
yeah.
day. And so
yeah.
I think that's a lot for people
yeah.
to kind of
yeah.
work through.
And I don't know if our listeners know that I'm a breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I had a double mastectomy that was just my personal choice. And I had tissue expanders, which got infected and those got taken out. So now I wore prosthesis for a year. And I will tell you that significantly impacted my own body image.
Mm-hmm.
That was 9 years ago. Today, I love my body more than I have ever loved it myself. And
mm-hmm.
the reason for that is I've now learned how to take care of this body.
Mm-hmm.
And this body is such a useful tool to accomplish my dreams and goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a temple for me now to take care of it. So it will allow me to do all the things that I want to do with my life, including taking care of my family, enjoying
mm-hmm.
my family, you know, all those things that give me joy. Is this body is, you know, helping me to do that. And in our patient population, I've seen women and men have body image issues, and it's different. And, you know, some people may have it a lot more severe than other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing is to acknowledge it. We all have body image issues to a certain extent of it may be different. The important thing to realize is if you have body image issues, we got to deal with it. If
mm-hmm.
you don't, then it can lead to depression, anxiety, low
mm-hmm.
self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
and isolation, and you really don't want that.
Right.
Do you agree
right.
with that?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I do think that, I think it's good to recognize we're talking about breast cancer, right?
Yes.
And as females, we're identified by our breast tissue
right.
at a very young
yes.
age. And so, so when we are removing breast tissue, if, like you said, having the scarring, having, you know, there's just a lot of changes that can
yeah.
happen with that.
Yeah.
And so there's the physical aspect where you get out of the shower and you can see those changes.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
changing and your family see, you know, your daughter may see some of those changes
yeah.
or, you know, so there's that physical aspect. But then there's also the feeling aspect. And I think it's really important when we're talking about body image to not stop at the physical finding.
Yes.
But to recognize and to kind of try to understand what are we feeling when we see those changes.
Yeah.
And so I think it's that physical and the feeling.
It's the mind-body connection. I
Absolutely.
Think it's really important. I always say for any of these issues that we talk about here in this Finding Your New Normal series, let's start talking with triggers. So that's what
mm-hmm.
you're talking about,
sure.
triggers. So triggers, when you look at yourself in the mirror, when you're going to your doctor's appointments, when they're doing an exam, that's a trigger. When you're going out for swimming, you may
mm-hmm.
not find a good, you know, swimsuit for you if you have one breast or two, lacking one breast or two breasts, or have scars just from your lumpectomy
sure.
or radiation changes. Also, you know, how your partner looks at yourself, or when you go for shopping and you may not be able to find clothing that
mm-hmm.
was, you know, that you could find in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I say those are probably all your triggers. It's important
mm-hmm.
to identify what your triggers are.
Absolutely.
And then today, I want to create not so much of a list, but the ways to deal with body image issues.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want our listeners to know this is not something that it's going to the switch you can turn on and all your issues go away. It's not like that. It's going to require a lot of work on your part to get to the other side. And the series is termed Finding Your New Normal. So our hope today is to find your new normal that's way better than your old
mm-hmm.
normal. It
mm-hmm.
certainly has been a case for me in my body image, you know, department. There prior to my breast cancer diagnosis, I didn't like myself and how I looked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now I have all these scars, you know,
yeah.
keloids on my
yeah.
chest. I love myself way more because I think I finally realized what this body has allowed me to do.
Mm-hmm. So it's the way you framed it.
That's
you
know? Right. Yeah.
And it, so, yeah.
It's the shift in the way you think about yourself.
Right, right, right. And it's not, reframing is not saying that it was okay that it happened.
Right.
You know, right. It's not justifying that it happened and to get over it or anything like that. Reframing is empowering you to then recognize the strength that you got from having to go through what you went through.
Right.
It's not okay you went through that.
Right. It's
you know?
Not okay.
It's not it's okay, okay that changes happened.
Yeah. And I also hear women say, I'm just grateful to be alive. I don't care about the scars. No, no.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's good that you're alive, but dealing with the issues of body image is still real. And you don't want to say, put it like in a box and, you know, close the lid, because that's when you have problems then in the future. Right. It's important to deal with them and to know that it's a real issue and we need to figure out ways to deal with it.
And then recognizing the word normal, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, that's hard too. It's, it's you know, what was normal, your new normal. Yeah. I think it's maybe pulling away from not focusing so much on normal, but focusing on kind of this is where you are now and how to become more confident in what you're feeling with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some tips that you tell people that you see about body image issues?
Well, okay, so there's a couple of things. I remember when I was working, doing this probably for about 5 years and working with patients, and I remember talking with the patient, and it kind of hit me to ask this patient if they had looked at themselves at all since surgery, because there was a struggle there, and I was trying to put the pieces together. And when I asked her that question, she hadn't. She had never looked at herself in the mirror. And so I think that, you know, it's important to, the more, like you said, the more you ignore something, the bigger it gets.
Right.
So it doesn't get smaller and it doesn't go away.
Right.
And so I think part of it is kind of recognizing, being able to look at those. We're not supposed to touch this. We're not supposed to look at it.
Yeah.
Then it's going to do everything it can in its power for you not to.
Yeah.
And you really have to then kind of work harder and harder to get more comfortable to do that.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is, like you said, you kind of recognize what you're seeing, and being comfortable kind of looking at those changes, not comfortable again saying that it's okay, but comfortable in that when you get out of the shower, it's you don't take the mirrors out of your bathroom, which has happened.
Yeah.
You feel okay to not lock the door where you didn't lock the door before when you would take a shower or change. And now all of a sudden that's never going to happen unless the door is locked. And so it's kind of trying to recognize why you're doing those things and kind of get comfortable again with what those changes are.
Yeah. I do think it's really important to have good communication with your significant other and also with yourself. And you got to become your best friend. Mm-hmm. You have to have positive self-talk instead of saying, oh my gosh, I hate the way I look. You know, there's things that you like about yourself. Maybe make a list of the things that you like about yourself. And I, you know, patients will also tell me that they're afraid, or their significant other is afraid to touch them, touch their scars. I think that's something that probably need to happen early on, that it's okay to touch the scars and to have the discussion or, you know, communication between both of them to see, you know, touch the scars is totally fine, but to have that conversation and how the significant other feels about the scars.
Right.
And it's okay. They're not going to hurt them by touching the scars, you know, or, you know, resume the intimate relationships again. So,
Right. Another thing I like to talk about is we relate to each other by eye contact. So that's how we kind of read each other. That's kind of how we know how you know, someone's feeling. It's just kind of a good connection. And I think a lot of times we don't look into our own eyes.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to connect to ourselves, because a lot of times we're looking at ourselves, but we're not really seeing ourselves.
Yeah.
And so looking
that's
at ourselves.
Really very, very powerful.
Yeah. So I feel like in looking and having that eye contact with ourselves, you're able to recognize that little girl and what she's gone through and how she's gone through this journey and has come to this place.
Yeah.
And you kind of see those things in a whole different way.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to take that time and not recognize all those other things and just kind of look at ourselves, but really see ourselves in our own eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. We go through a lot, right, in this lifetime. I mean, it's not easy. Life is not easy for any of us. We all have different struggles, childhood trauma that sort of carries on into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if in my family, compliments were very infrequent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you kind of grow up, you know, sometimes maybe wanting people to compliment you because you didn't get that. And that was just the Indian mentality where if you gave too many compliments, you don't want the kids to become too full of themselves was their idea behind it. Mm-hmm. They loved us, obviously, and they showed it with their actions. But then you grow up thinking that's what I'm lacking. I'm lacking this or that and seek out in the world. And body image is one of those things where if you didn't hear things in growing up, like your body is your vehicle. It's not everything. Like when I have my nieces and my daughters around, I usually praise how smart they are, how strong they are, how wonderful and kind and compassionate they are. Very rarely I give them compliments on their bodies because I don't want them to develop this idea that body is everything.
Would you agree with that? Yeah, and you touched on a really important piece that I think as practitioners, it's really important for us to pay attention to are the cultural differences and how body image is communicated and what that looks like. And I think that definitely needs to also be talked about a lot more because there are different ways in different cultural communities and how that, you know, and what body image is and how it's defined and the importance of that.
You touched on this before where you said how we have to be looking at ourselves, looking in our eyes, seeing what this body has gone through. But think about the daily life things that we do. We get up, we brush our teeth, you know, taking shower, working out, biking, running, dancing, being able to do our jobs. Our body is helping us to do so much. And the fascinating fact is our skin replaces itself once a month. Your stomach lining every 5 days, your liver every 6 weeks, and your skeleton muscle every 3 months. And it's pretty amazing on what the body goes through. And, you know, and also body image as we get older, right? I mean, do you ever, have you ever worried like how I would look as I get older?
Absolutely. And I think that's something too, going through the breast cancer diagnosis, we're also affecting hormone changes, right? And so, and that's a huge buzz right now as far as, you know, menopause, perimenopause, and it's very limited in the options that breast cancer patients feel they have. I think there are more options than what sometimes they are that's talked about for them. That would be a whole different podcast for us to do, but you know, but I do feel like there are less options. And so it is kind of figuring out how are you okay with those changes.
You know, I work, we both work in a field where, you know, getting older is such a privilege, right? It's such a privilege to get older. We've all earned all these wrinkles we have, you know, like, so I think we value the life that we have. And, but it's not, I mean, it's okay to think, gosh, I have this wrinkle or I don't look the same as I did 10 years ago or whatnot. But at the same time, I think it's such a privilege to have the life that we have for however long that is for all of us. It's different. And just be grateful for the life, you know, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, it's your life. It's your own, you know?
Yeah. But it, and it's also good to have a balance, like as far giving yourself permission to feel the changes, it's okay to feel that, you know? I feel like when someone's diagnosed with breast cancer, and I think our practice, it's kind of our niche is get them in, get them treated, get them taken care of. You know, it's like we start them on this train and it takes off so fast. And it takes by maybe a year out where all of a sudden you have time to catch your breath and you're able to kind of process everything that's happened. And it's okay to kind of sit in that space of those changes.
I do think, I mean, just with the breast cancer diagnosis, it impacts so much. Obviously, body image is being a big issue. You go through the stages of grieving, right? Your breast didn't look the same as they did before. So you go through the stages of denial. My gosh, I can't believe it's looking like this, you know, anger, bargaining, and depression and acceptance. And I think to, it's important to go through the stages, but not to get stuck in one stage. So it's important to know, I agree with you. Okay, yes, it's important to grieve this, but at the same time, let's figure out ways that we can deal with it and not be stuck in any of one of those phases.
One thing I like to talk about is when you are kind of getting in those thoughts where, you know, like we can wake up in the morning. It'd be interesting for you to kind of write down the thoughts you have in the morning. You know, I'm pretty critical of myself when I wake up and I'm like, oh, I didn't do this yesterday. I said this wrong yesterday. And so I think it's important. I kind of talk through talk it through, like stop, drop, and roll. So stop the thought, drop it, and roll it into something positive. And
I love that.
Because again, our brain for how many years have we been getting this message over and over and over again? And we're going to work and trying to change these messages. And to do that, we have to catch that thought, right? We have to drop it and we have to roll it into something positive. And that's when you had talked about writing a list of things that you like about yourself, your strengths, the things. Those don't come natural to us. So it's not like we have those right there to just just, you know, drop that thought and roll it in like real quickly. We have to consciously take time to figure out what do we like about ourselves?
Yeah.
What do we feel like are positive things about ourselves, and really kind of practice that list in our head over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
So then when that thought does happen, we know, okay, I got to drop it. I'm going to roll it into this positive thought and kind of just keep training my brain to do that.
Yeah.
So that's something else that you can try as we're trying to kind of work through that body image and how do we start to think differently about it.
Yeah.
That's a tool you can use to
help. That's really great point. I love that. On the similar note, there's what's called cognitive dissonance. And this is a term that's your brain has taken pictures of how you look like when you look in the mirror for how many ever, say I was diagnosed at 40. So if you're diagnosed at 40, for 40 years, you're looking in the mirror, looking at yourself, and you're looking how your body looks like. So your brain has this library of pictures of how you look like. Now, all of a sudden, you have had cancer, no breasts, scars, whatnot. You're looking in the mirror and you don't recognize yourself. Your brain is confused. What happened to all these images of what I had of you, where you had your breasts and everything was okay? Now I don't. So one way to shift the thinking is look at yourself more in the mirror. Take those pictures mentally more. That way you now create a new library of pictures of what you look like right now. And it's up to you to associate, is it good or bad on how you look? But it's who you are right now. It's, you know, as a result of your diagnosis, your surgeries, your treatment plan, this is who you are. And again, going back to, it's okay to feel bad about it, but also we should accept, like, you know, how we look at that time to create a new library of pictures.
So. No, that's a really good point.
I also say it's important, the people that you surround yourself with, right? Like, so at the social circle, I have a few friends that we hang out with. And every time I leave this group of people, I come back happier, more joyful. And these are the people who are uplifting and who are, you know, who make you feel good for who you are and don't judge you for, you know, if your hair is thinning or you're developing wrinkles or, you know, whatever that is. And also, maybe it's important to surround yourself with people who have gone through it before.
Sure.
So, you know, they get it. You get it. You're all, you know, and you can talk about it together. You can maybe make fun of it or joke about it. That way it's not as heavy on your heart. So I think your social circle, it's important, and to be surrounding yourself with people who remind you of your inner beauty and your strength and your resilience.
No, I think that's really smart. They actually did this study where the sketch artists, so if somebody like a criminal and then somebody saw them and they sketched and they were trying to describe who they saw.
Yeah.
And so they did a study where a person went in and described somebody and they did the sketch. And then that person that was described went in and described themselves and they did a sketch.
Oh, wow.
And when they looked at both of the images that people described, who do you think was the worst?
About themselves.
Yeah. And so it is important for us to surround ourselves by other people that see us through those eyes.
That's,
you know,
really great.
We are really hard on ourselves. And we do have to be kind of uplifted at times where it's harder for us to do that ourselves.
We do. So. Yeah. And then I don't know about you, Jody. I love like to get dressed up or to go, you know, places or, you know, where you're, you know, meeting people or even going to work sometimes. I feel like it really makes a huge impact on my mood. So when I, you know, put a little bit of makeup on and get dressed up, it doesn't have to be fancy, but my confidence goes up. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah, I do think there's something to be said for that. Yeah, I think COVID has been interesting.
Yeah.
Because people work from home more.
Right.
People work in scrubs more.
Right.
You know,
right.
I find myself, I'm wearing scrubs more. And, you know, there are times I feel like there is something to be said for like a fun new outfit that you feel confident in or fun makeup or
new hairstyle, you know,
and self-care.
Or,
like spending some time on self-care, I think can go a long way.
Yeah. I usually say I'm high maintenance on the weekends to be low maintenance on weekdays. What that means is I usually do the, you know, scrubbing of my face and the masking of my face and, I got this new microneedling kit, which I have not even done it yet because it requires you to actually sit down for 10 minutes. But apparently it has this tiny, you know, needles where, you know, creates collagen with this micropuncture of the skin. I haven't started yet, but I'm like, I need to try this out to see how it works. So,
yeah.
And you know, getting your nails done or whatever that is for that person.
For some people, it's working out in the yard. Yeah. For some people, it's, you know, there's, it's different for everyone, but it is finding that, you know. And there are little things throughout the day. There are kind of, I call them the awe times where it's like, is it hot tea at night? Is it a bath? Is it, what is it that kind of helps your day kind of end in a positive way? And so when we don't do those things, then it does get harder to kind of go through what we're going through as far as body image and trying to make those changes.
I call them the moments of glimmer. Like see that, the positivity, the hope, and like, you know, stopping, smelling the roses, enjoying the cup of coffee and, you know, exercise. I know it's such a, we talk about exercise about for, you know, as a cure for almost everything.
I know.
I really do think it is. And
I know, I agree.
And you know, you have endorphin release when you're exercising, which is great. It's a feel good hormone. You immediately feel like you did something. This morning I got up early, you know, went for a walk when the sun was coming up and I felt like, my gosh, this is so beautiful.
Right.
The fresh air, even though it was cool, it felt really good. And not in addition to releasing endorphins, of course, we know it's good for our hearts, for diabetic, diabetes. Sorry, I can't even talk. Diabetes, for, you know, prevention of Alzheimer's, dementia, risk of cancer recurrence, reduces the risk of cancer recurrence. But also, I think the message that exercise sends me, I also lifted some weights this morning, is it tells me that I am important enough to, I'm taking care of myself and that body that's carrying me. Now I can, you know, my cup is full. Now I can go take care of others. So that is the message that is sending me. I'm doing something positive for myself. So
no, I think that's great. It's like the whole airplane where they say, who do you put the oxygen on first, right? And our instinct is to put it on the kids or, you know, the people around us. And it's really more important to put it on ourselves first. So,
100%. And, you know, we really need to enjoy our lives. You know, our lives, or, you know, it's, you only get one life to live and we don't know how long you're going to be here for. And I think it's important to wear those clothes that you've been putting in the closet, wear those shoes and go out dancing, go swimming, go playing tennis, which you're going to play tennis after here, right, today? So, you know, doing all those things that give you joy and it's really important to keep investing yourself in doing those things and just be kind to yourself and have grace and, but also at the same time, be authentic. It's okay to have good days and bad days. This is not a linear path to get to a place where you're going to feel, oh my gosh, I love my body today. You're never going to get there. It's going to be ups and downs and two steps forward, one step back. And it's okay as long as you are in the path and, you know, trying to help yourself to get to the other side. And I think a healthy body image, you know, it's a, again, it's a, your body is something that carries you, helps you, you know, get you through to your dreams. And it's important to honor it. It's important to fuel it. It's important to respect it. Any last minute words or anything?
Yeah, like that? I guess I think, you know, the biggest thing is to recognize you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, like body image is really difficult. And some of the things that we can be saying, hey, it's a good idea to try this. Sometimes you don't have the energy to do any of it. And that's why, like I said, it's okay to sit in that space and to recognize kind of the changes that have happened and to kind of, you know, regroup a little bit and try to figure out how to move forward. And some of the things we're talking about as far as really looking in, into your eyes and seeing yourself, not just looking at yourself, you know, putting like taking time to consciously think about what are the positives that you really like about yourself and take time to make a list and to practice that list because you know, it's not easy to go to that because for so long we've been going to the negative changes, know? I think it's important to recognize what feeling you have when you're seeing those physical changes. And, you know, people feel shame. That breaks my heart more than anything is that people go through these diagnoses can feel shame. And I think that's, I hate it that anyone feels that. You can have anger, sad, you can feel sad. I mean, there's so many things that, that emotion that, that you have when you're seeing those changes, it's important to recognize. And sometimes it takes getting help to kind of process through those.
Yeah.
So this isn't all on you. This use your resources. It's and if you're having a hard time finding them, please reach out to someone to so that we can help you because this is a lot to put on your own shoulders to try to work through. This is time that we've spent years working with patients and really kind of taking the time to try to put the pieces together. And we have, you know, tons of people and their experiences that they've gone through this journey to kind of pull from, you have yours. And that can be really difficult to feel like you're alone and doing this on your own. So know that it's okay to get help, that it's really kind of important to get help to kind of navigate through something like this, because it is big.
Yeah.
I had a patient just recently. She came in and she said that she had a question to ask me. She just wasn't sure who to ask. And so as we were having our visit together, she's like, I think maybe you're the one I'm going to ask this question to. And I'm like, of course, ask me whatever you need to ask me. And she said, well, you know, my breasts have been removed. My ovaries and my uterus have been removed. And I start filling out paperwork. And there comes a time where I have to check if I'm a female or a male. And what do I check? And so for me, that gave me pause, because I know she's not the only person that feels that. And I also know she was the only person to ever ask me that question. And so it is important for us to recognize, like, that's how people are feeling. And it's okay just to sit together and say, that's got to be hard.
Yeah.
You absolutely are still who you always were, but it's got to be hard to not feel that.
Yeah.
So
I think, you know, that is something. It is really hard. You know, I had to have my ovary removed. I still have one ovary, and I had my breast removed. I did say something to someone at that time, all the things that make me a female are like being taken away from me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was a very profound statement, you know. I mean, you know, it says something again, like to your point, these are the things you have learned from the time you're a young kid. Like, this is what makes you a woman, a breast, you know.
Yeah.
And that's really not true. And I do think we have to change the way we talk to ourselves.
Right. And just like the pictures you said, right? And like you had those ideas of what that picture of who you were. And all of a sudden we're going to take this away and we're going to take that away. Yeah. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of understanding, how did you find who you are?
Yeah.
And recognizing you're so much more than any of the physical things about you, but it's also okay to mourn those things that are no longer a part of who you are.
Right.
You know?
Right. So I think that's a great point. It's okay to mourn.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel the sadness, the grief.
Yeah.
And also, it doesn't just happen once and it's gone. It keep coming back.
Right.
Again, you know, looking at the triggers that we talked about earlier.
Sure.
You know, if you're at a doctor's office, someone is examining you, you're shopping or swimming, or you have to wear the swimsuit, or, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror, or if you're developing new intimate relationships, you know, and I mean, and I know we both have such young breast cancer survivors who don't have a relationship yet.
Right.
But they're so afraid to get into the relationships, because they're worried this person may not like them because of the scar. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give someone like that, Jody?
You know, I think it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes if it's something that's, is it easier to have the conversation up front and move on? Or is it easier to build trust and then have the conversation? And I think people feel both of those things, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes people don't want to be identified as that for as long as they don't have to be, right?
Yeah.
And so they want to put that conversation off. But again, I think it all goes back to recognizing the feeling, you know, and why am I feeling this? Why does it make me feel this way? And then kind of working through it that way. Because then when you do have the triggers, like we talked about, you get out of the shower, you're getting into a new relationship,
you can
recognize that thought and feeling, and you have worked through, like, this is why I was feeling that, and now I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so, you know, I think there's not just I don't think there's a right answer for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, we often think of young people, but I had a 65-year-old patient last week who is getting a bilateral mastectomy. And her comment was, you know, I'm single. My husband died 10 years ago, and I'm looking to get into new relationships. And how is this going to impact, you know, the person that I find?
Yeah.
And it's on all of our minds. It doesn't matter how old we are, you know.
Right.
And I think on the inside of ourselves, there's always that 16-year-old that's there, that's, you know, talking to us.
Yeah.
And so, you're right. It's really hard. For me, if I was single and dating, I would, something, if it's a relationship that I'm going to be in for a long time, I would probably let them know, like, early in the stages, that way they have a time to leave if they don't want to be in the relationship.
But isn't that interesting? That's your thought.
That's my thought. Yeah.
That's your first thought is so they can leave.
Yeah.
But that thought wasn't about you and how strong you are and how they're lucky to have you being the strong female that you are going through what you went through.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just, again, it goes back to those messages that we have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This has been a great tips, Jody. And so I really love that you said it's okay to get help and it's okay to, you know, talk to someone if this has become a real big problem where, you know, you're struggling with it on a daily basis and it's not getting better as the time goes on, because it's going to be different for each person and how long it's going to take to heal from body image issues. And it may be an ongoing thing. And again, it's not linear. You know, it's like a curve. It goes up and down. But I want people to know where they can find you.
Sure. Okay. All right. So yeah, so you can find me at Enliven Health and Wellness. So I have a women's health practice that we've formed that has therapy, but also has kind of the physical health aspect. So we're here to kind of help guide you through that. We not someone that's going to take the place of your current providers, but we just want to enhance what you've already have going on. So you can reach us at 614-940-4868. We do virtual visits and in-person visits, and we also accept insurance. So
that's awesome. Yeah. You're so lucky to have you here in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you for all you do for all patients and for everyone, for people around you. You're always so kind, uplifting, and just beautiful inside and out.
Thank you. So I really appreciate you being here today. So. Thank you.
Hope you guys found this episode to be useful and contact us. You know, I'm going to put the information on how to get a hold of Jody Gibbs. My information will be on there. So thank you for making the time to really.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
This tip,
so. Honored to do it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you everyone for tuning into the Breast Cancer Podcast. Remember, you're not alone in this fight. I encourage you to be an active part of this podcast. Please share your stories, questions, and suggestions for future topics at my website, called drdeepahalaharvey.com. And please share this podcast with others, especially if you found it useful. And please also give it a 5-star rating, if you will. Stay connected as we navigate the complexities of breast cancer. Until next time, take care and keep shining brightly. Disclaimer, this podcast is not intended for complete medical advice.